Ba-da-ba-da-beep. Okay.
Hit it.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to season two of the Irish Podcast. I'm Jane.
And I'm Cormac. In this season, we share the ups and downs of our Italian journey.
From how we moved to Italy to the hustle of work, we'll be sharing what it's actually like to move countries.
Join us for our Tuscan adventures, our unforgettable bedbug experience, plus an Edinburgh Fringe special.
Whether you're a travel enthusiast or just curious, join us for stories, laughs, and good old Irish hospitality.
How are you, Jane?
How are you doing?
What's the crack?
Well, not too bad now. We're in sunny, sunny Florence. We've got our windows open. I apologise. I hope that the AI post editor will take out the beautiful birds that are chirping.
Ah, the beautiful birds. Random traffic passing.
Yeah, maybe I might actually close the windows. Hold on. Yeah, so today's episode, as we're sitting in sunny Florence, is why we decided to leave Ireland.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
It's complicated, but yes.
It's complicated. We want to, we have a lot of listeners that aren't from Ireland. We've got a lot of US listeners and we've got some Italian listeners as well. So they might not know exactly what's going on in Ireland. For those of you who are Irish, just skip this podcast because you already know exactly what's going on.
You don't need to relive the moments of everyday life in Ireland.
The hellhole that's going on right now. We want to preface this episode. It's going to be quite negative, but we love Ireland. We love being Irish. If we could move back home, we would.
Oh, in a heartbeat. In an absolute heartbeat. Amazing country, but unfortunately just it's going through the motions.
Yeah. So we have emigrated due to financials and stress and weather and all those rigmaroles. But we're going to do the episode in our typical transport, accommodation, food and fun. So.
But start us off, love.
So transport. I've just made a very quick list here. First, just airports. We've got a couple. Knock. Shannon on the west side can't get out of the airport once you're in them unless you drive. So Knock and Shannon, essentially nobody uses them, so everyone goes to Dublin
pretty much.
So we always have to fly to Dublin, and then because we live on the west side of the country, we have to get on a bus for a minimum of 3 hours.
Yeah, there are a few flights from the US straight into Shannon, which would be the closest place to the Cliffs of Moher. For anyone who's looking to come over and do that.
Oh yeah, if you're American, definitely just fly into Shannon and rent a car there if you drive, although that will cost you a small fucking fortune.
I believe you can get a bus from the Shannon airport to Ennis, which is kind of the largest satellite town in Clare, which...
Nightmare.
Yeah, bit of a nightmare. Buses in Ireland aren't great. Transport in Ireland isn't really great.
Transport in Ireland is not great. So airports just, yeah. I mean, Shannon and Knock would be amazing if they were served by some kind of rail or good bus service, but they're not. So everyone has to go into Dublin.
No, I will give you a very short example. Whenever I tried to go from Leitrim to Dublin, which is northwest, I have to go to Cavan town, and I have to allow at least an hour every time I travel for the delays of the bus that comes all the way from Donegal to get you to Dublin Airport.
It's actually shocking how an airport bus can be that late.
Yeah, it's amazing that I have to give myself an extra hour because the bus never, ever, ever leaves on time.
Yeah, we'll just go straight into buses.
Yeah.
So buses in Galway are absolutely shocking. Everybody lives on the west side of the city and they all work on the east side.
So these are the local buses to get you in and around the town.
Local buses, they never turn up. If they do turn up, they're going to be 40 minutes late.
Yeah.
It's an absolute shit show. Like, it's just shocking. Dublin, same crack. You're just going to be in absolute gridlock traffic. Most people have a 2-hour commute if they're driving or getting a bus. So
they've been building an underground metro between the city centre and the airport for as long as I've been a person.
Yeah, it's just not going
to
happen.
And it's not meant to be built. At least I'm in my late 40s.
Yeah, so our main airport of the country is not served by any rail, which is actually insane.
Yeah, for a metropolitan city of our size and the amount of tourists that fly into Dublin City Airport that have to then figure
get
out
bus or,
what number bus they have to get. And realize that it'll take at least 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah. So buses, whether they're regional, local, the only bus that I can give truly positive feedback for is the CityLink.
Yeah.
They were also called GoBus. They're a great company, and that's the Dublin to Galway from the airport or from the city centre, and they run every half an hour and they're bang on time. They're amazing. So fair play to you, CityLink.
Yeah, no, I have to say, like, you book your tickets online. I would recommend that, because I have seen many people try to get on it. And
if it's Easter, if it's Christmas, it's absolutely booked out. You have to book in advance. But
or just weekends in general, people traveling home, a lot of students traveling from Dublin back to Galway or anywhere in the West Coast, basically, they book their tickets, and I've seen people unfortunately get refused because there's no space for people without bookings. So
yeah, but they're really, really sound. If you arrive in early, magically, to Dublin Airport, or if you arrive late, they will accommodate you.
They'll swap your tickets. Yeah,
CityLink is definitely, like, shout out to CityLink, please sponsor us,
please. We love you.
They're amazing. Next one is just driving in Ireland. Yeah. So why don't we drive, Cormac?
Because it's madly expensive.
It's insanity. So yeah, you have to take your theory test. So right now, the average wait to even take a theory test is 3 months. So that's nice, you know, nice long wait. Once you have your theory test, you then have to take 12 driving lessons, which, you know, €6 minimum a pop. And that has to be spread out over a couple of months. And then to practice, you need to be insured on somebody's car that has a full license, and they need to be in the car with you at all times.
Yeah.
So there's no driving around on a learner's permit like it was 10 years ago.
No.
Unfortunately not. You know, you have to have somebody who has a car that's willing to insure you and who is willing to let you drive while they sit there. So, you know, a lot of people, I just say, get your driver's license as early as possible, because now I just have no idea how I would.
Oh, I started the process and I'm an absolute idiot for not finishing it. I moved away. I had like 3 or 4 lessons left. I was like, I'll get back to it. And I never did.
I know, yeah.
And I'm a fool of a duke.
We need to get you on it. But then, so yeah, and then you have to wait, you know, a minimum 6 months to even take your test.
Yeah.
If you even pass it the first time. So that's just how annoying it is to get a driver's license. Once you have a driver's license, then insurance is fucking through the roof. You're talking €3,500 minimum to insure you right now.
Yeah.
So that's like your first year. It doesn't matter how shit the car is. It could be a €500 car and the insurance is still €3,500.
Oh, it would go up. Anything over 10 years old in Ireland, the insurance premiums just start violently going up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to try and get a car within 10 years.
Yeah.
And then they're expensive.
It's crazy. And then a lot of people wanted to go down the electric route, but Ireland didn't set themselves, even though we would be the perfect country to have a brilliant electric car.
Oh my God, yeah. System. It's such a small country. You'd be able to drive like the 5 or 6 hours across the country or up and down the country on one charge.
But we don't have the charging facilities.
Yeah.
So
anyone who's renting a car then, if you come in and you rent, unfortunately as well, during COVID.
It's going to be a bajillion euro.
During COVID, Ireland had a surplus of rentable cars that weren't being used, so they just decided to sell them to taxi drivers, sell them away, and basically export them. And then COVID finished and then we had no fucking cars. So I remember my dad and all the locals in the pub speaking about it, like, you know, it's like €3,500 to rent a car for like a week. I was like, there's no way. They're like, no, seriously, they've sold all of the effing car. That's like, it's, oh my God, okay,
crazy. So you're actually better off renting a car up the north, or getting it from England and getting
if you fly into England, rent the car, get the ferry across from Holyhead to Dublin, and then just use that car. That would be much better.
Yeah, it's actually shocking.
It's terrible.
Oh, and the final one to touch on is rail. We had an extended rail network in the early 20th century.
We had the best in Europe. We were the most connected by tram lines across an entire country.
And now they're all greenways.
Now they're all being just ripped up and replaced by cycle paths.
So we'll say Cormac lives in Leitrim, which is in the northwest of the country. And even though, like, it's not very far as the crow flies from my house to your house, to get there by rail, it's actually impossible to get there.
Well, no, it's impossible, like, unless you go to Dublin to get a train back to, like, Longford, and you're still not in Leitrim.
it's just shocking. Our rail network is a little bit tricky. As we said, you know, the airports aren't serviced by trains. None of the airports are serviced by trains. you're kind of reliant on buses most of the time. And even the train from Galway to Dublin, the bus is actually 15 minutes
quicker.
So
every time I've ever gotten on the train from Galway to Dublin, I've been at least stopped once for a minimum of 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh my God, there's always a delay.
Always a delay. Like, you just suddenly pull into a lay-by and like, oh, we have to wait for a train to pass us. And you're just like, we have one track.
Yeah.
One track that goes across the fucking country.
Are you messing this up so badly?
Like, lad, when you're building it, would you not build two side by side? Just, you know, one up, one down. It would be great.
So, yeah, they are trying to, especially in Galway now, they're going to bring out the Galway to Clifton line again. They're trying to build more trains, essentially.
But, so there's a few tracks that they're trying to reopen, which would be amazing. It would be really, really good. It would take the pressure off a lot of the transport, because even if you're driving in the city centre of most cities in Ireland, regardless of buses, trains, anything, to get about 2 kilometres in Galway will take you about an hour and a half driving, depending on the day.
The commutes are ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah, if you're planning on driving in, well, if you're planning on getting the trains in Ireland, just don't. And then if you're planning on driving anywhere, just don't go anywhere between 8 and 9 a.m. because that's the big commute time. And then again from 5 until 6:30. Just don't drive.
Just a major city. Small town, you're laughing. Also, God help you with Google Maps, because it's just country roads with no signage. And I've heard of so many Americans, Americans, getting lost.
Yeah, or Americans driving around like the Ring of Kerry or around the Burren.
Well, those places now are more signposts because of tourism.
Oh, no, I mean
hilarious.
The big tourist buses.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it can be slightly terrifying to drive around those kind of touristy regional areas. Enjoy that. So now we move on to accommodation. Accommodation is like an extremely serious matter in Ireland. We can't afford to live there. And not only can we not afford to live there, but we actually just can't even get a house.
Yeah, so what? There was one available apartment in Galway City weeks ago.
There's 4 available. Like, in all of Galway City Centre, there are 4 available properties right now.
To rent.
2 of which are for the summer.
Yeah.
And one of which was a room in a 6-bed house.
Yeah.
So if you are planning on moving to Ireland for college, we'll say, a lot of students, they do like a year abroad, like an Erasmus or whatever, you have to have your accommodation locked down or you're not coming. A lot of people wait until the summer and they're like, oh, I'm moving to Galway in September, and it's like, you're not going to get a gaff. Like, you know, it is absolutely outrageous. Like, back in 2011, 2012, I could get a beautiful 2-bed apartment in Galway for €700.
Yeah.
€700 wouldn't even get you a single bed right now. And a lot of places, even for students, are doing like digs. So you can stay there from Monday to Friday, but you have to have your stuff out at the weekend.
Yeah.
You can't use the kitchen. It's crazy. And they're charging like €1,000 for that a month. It's just, it's insanity. This is a widespread issue across the country.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you're moving to Cork, to Dublin, you know, and even, you know, even in Leitrim, you're seeing like, it's just absolutely crazy.
Well, Leitrim a few years ago had the cheapest houses in all of Ireland because no one wanted to live there. And then after COVID, people were like, oh, remote working, I'll just like buy a cheaper house in Leitrim. And now all the houses are gone.
Yeah. The prices have just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
So just in terms of like rental accommodation, it's not going to, you need to know somebody. Like,
yeah,
that's
the only properties I've seen for rent are through my friends on Instagram, all saying, does anyone, you know, want a room in this place? I'm leaving. And they're just swapping out for their mates, which is the only way it works at the minute.
And Ireland does not have 1-bedroom apartments. We do 2-bed minimum. But a lot of people just do shared gaffs. So it's like a 4-bedroom house and everybody just takes a room. So that's the way the Irish system works. We just never built 1-bedroom apartments.
We did, I think, like 10 or 15 years ago in Dublin. And those apartments are like €2,500, €3,000.
Oh, maybe. Minimum. Yeah, yeah.
Minimum.
But like, you'll see, like, if you look up any news articles, you'll see for one property viewing, over 100 people could turn up just to view the apartment. So, and like, people are bringing 4 months like deposit in cash, just throwing it at landlords.
And the same with students, unfortunately. Like, they're building new student accommodation in certain places, in Galway and Glasson as well. And they're already inundated with people signing up.
Obviously, you know, Ukraine war happened, people have come in and people have become very, very, very aggressive towards Ukrainian people, which is horrible. And there was even stabbings. If you look up the Dublin riots that happened last year, which is absolutely mortifying as a country.
Yeah, it was one of our lowest moments. And it was just a particular group of people in Dublin who just did not agree with the refugee status of Ireland and then giving homes to people who don't have any in their countries. So
yeah,
a lot of people are sympathetic, but it's just a very political standpoint in Ireland.
It's a very, very political standpoint. So our elections are coming up this year and God knows they'll probably vote in Sinn Féin. They'll do fuck all anyway. But yeah, there's just a severe housing crisis. Then in terms of accommodation as well, Airbnb have come in and it's like, we loved Airbnb coming on the holiday initially being like, oh, Airbnb is great. And it's like, it's destroying the rental network, even in Italy. And I just think there should be a massive taxation on any vacant houses, on any vulture funds that are coming in. And Airbnbs, it should just be, if you have a spare room, that's it. You can't be renting out full fucking apartments.
Yeah, there should be a cap, especially in city centres. People need to work in city centres. People need access to city centres, not live 40 minutes outside of a town and have a long-ass commute on a transport system that isn't reliable.
Yes.
So
in Florence, I'd love if it's happening in Galway, but in Florence now, they put in place where they gave a six-month boundary for everyone to, if they want to apply for an Airbnb status, they had 6 months to get it in. Mm. Otherwise, they're no longer accepting any more new Airbnbs. And they gave a tax break to anyone who had an Airbnb, but gave it up. And even if they were doing short-term rentals, they had to do it for at least a year.
Yeah, 12 to 18 month contracts.
12 to 18 month contracts. And they don't have to pay any tax on that, which is amazing. So I'm just like, please, please, Irish government, do
the same. Yeah, it would really help the situation. Really, really help.
In terms of buying a house?
we don't even have enough time to get into that topic in Ireland. My God.
But if you're a single person in Ireland, you ain't buying a house. If you could even find a house to buy, it is absolutely outrageous. One of my brothers just bought a house last year, and how he managed to buy a house, I have no idea. It's a huge congratulatory moment if anyone actually manages to buy a house.
So
millennials, it's just not happening for us. It's just not happening. So we've just resigned ourselves to the fact that we will never own a house unless by magic we win the Euro Millions. So,
God, wouldn't that be great?
That'd be fab, yeah. So that's transport, accommodation, food. A happy topic.
Happy topic. Food, glorious food.
We love the food from Ireland. I miss it very much.
Very simply, we just have some of the best quality meat in the world. I'm going to just lay it out there.
Our steak, our chicken, our lamb, absolutely incredible.
Everything is grass-fed. Like, you people are always like, organic, you know, like, organic. So, and it's just like, no. Like, all we do is organic in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, it's fantastic. We import a lot of food as well. Cheaper prices, obviously, for supermarkets, restaurants and everything. But we've been trying the last few years in Ireland to make it more like that we were exporting more meat than we're eating our own meat in Ireland at
one
point.
Which is crazy.
Which they've kind of flipped around, like all of the chains, McDonald's, like all those big chains, Supermax in Ireland is obviously a big one. They all started using Irish quality meat good few years ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can just tell the difference and it's so good.
Yeah. So we do love the food, obviously the Irish spice bag or the chicken fillet roll.
The chicken fillet roll is a staple.
It is.
It's an absolute staple. It's getting more expensive as well, which I've seen people react to online.
Outrageous.
Yeah, like you used to be able to get like a chicken fillet roll, pack of crisps, a bottle of Coke.
$3.50.
$3.50, maybe a fiver for the meal deal if you got a big roll. But now it's just like it's a 5-6 euro for the roll itself and then like 50 cents to a euro for each extra ingredient.
Minimum. Got outrageous.
And unfortunately, Ireland at the minute like everywhere, you know, new restaurants are really struggling because the prices of inflation, electricity, staffing, the staffing crisis as well for restaurants and hotels is terrible in Ireland. So yeah, restaurants aren't lasting that long. It's really tough to get through the first 6 months. So, you know,
a lot of places opening and then immediately closing down.
Yeah. So a lot of people are pushing to support local, which is amazing. Like, you really see the difference in the last last year or two in Ireland, that people really are trying to help local places.
The other thing to note just about food in Ireland, because you obviously dealt with so many tourists in your work, we do not eat late.
no, the Mount tourists are like, where can I go for dinner? I'm like, oh, sorry, everywhere closes at 9 o'clock. And they're just, the Europeans is looking at me like, what?
Yeah,
what
8 mean? O'clock like, is yeah, the yeah. very, very latest dinner like, reservation.
You might get into this place. They stay open till maybe 10. They're like, what? We only eat dinner at this time. I'm like, well, we don't. We drink.
Yeah. So just be aware that if you're coming to Ireland, we have dinner. Well, traditionally, everyone has dinner at 6 o'clock. But
6, 7 o'clock. Yeah. If you go
eight,
for dinner
eight
out.
8 is the latest. You're
going to
get a reservation.
Yeah, 8 is the latest. There's a lot of like new brand places like burger joints and like chicken wing places that stay open a little bit later, but you ain't getting fed past 9:30.
No,
sorry, 9:30.
Yeah,
I always say 9:30. People are like 8:30. No, 9:30.
Oh, yeah, Jeremy always says that to us. Yeah, like, oh, 2:30. And he's like, you mean 2:30?
Yeah. I can understand why. Yeah.
And then fun. So we are known as a fun nation. We are known as a drinking nation. We
like a bit of crack.
We like a bit of crack. So there is, you know, in terms of, we have a huge pub culture. The pubs are amazing if they can staff the fucking things and keep the lights on.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're known for great music. We've got, you know, beautiful scenery and we love a bit of crack.
Mm-hmm.
But that can also take a bit of a devilish turn in terms of the weather. We are, you know, we're from the West. It rains all the time. Like, all the time.
If you're planning a trip to Ireland, never, ever plan on weather or think that August you're going to get a better fucking...
No, it just rains.
It just rains all the time. And then all of a sudden you might get the most beautiful day in, like, April or May or, like, September. It could be fantastic.
I think in Galway it rains over 280 days of the year. So it can get very, very depressing. I know the weather is a huge factor for a lot of Irish people right now. Everyone that we're speaking to back home, it's pissing rain every day. They've had enough.
There's been like two months nearly of just everyday rain, and it's really affected people's mental health. Because like Irish people, if we just get a break in the rain and it's just like windy or it's cloudy, overcast, we can deal with that as long as you're not just soaking wet.
Yeah. So it is quite annoying because obviously we can't do like outdoor seating that much.
Yeah.
We can't, you know, it does just really affect. And so in turn, everybody goes to the pub and we don't have the most amount of facilities. You know, you can go to the cinema, you can go bowling, you can go, you know, indoor go-kart racing in Galway, and that's kind of it. And they're like really expensive to do as well.
There's a few like nice museums and different places, obviously. You know, like if you're in Dublin, you can do different distillery tours. If you're in Cork, you can go to Middleton. There are a few like indoor activities, but obviously...
But even there, you've just mentioned, it's all centered around the drink.
Yeah.
So for people who don't drink in Ireland, and especially like a lot of younger people now are giving up the drink because it's so expensive.
Mm.
There's a real lack of facilities and a real lack of things to do.
We have a few amazing outdoor activity parks.
We do.
If it's not pissing rain.
You can use it at the year, yeah. So it's just we just want to highlight that, you know, the drinking culture here, well, the drinking culture in Ireland is, it's a lot. We do drink a lot. And
But, you know, it's crack agus ciol, and there can be fun events that isn't like, you don't have to drink for them. Like 100%, but they'll probably be in a pub or a hotel ballroom, or somewhere like that has some sort of a pop up bar. And if you like a little tipple, it's perfect. You can survive.
Mm-hmm.
But for we must do a little bit more research into kind of like non drinking events you can do indoors in Ireland.
Yeah, we should do a bonus pod.
That'd be good. We can find out ourselves. So we're definitely missing a few.
Mm-hmm.
In our own heads of like what you can do indoors.
Yeah, no, we'll make an itinerary.
But it's more, you know, get a nice hot tea into you.
Yeah.
Get your waterproof on and take it with a pinch of salt. Because, you know, when you're sitting down with a nice pint of Guinness, even Guinness 0.0 is meant to be pretty good.
Yeah.
You can enjoy the cure.
On that, I just want to touch on the price of alcohol. And you're going to know more about this than I do.
It's going up, yeah.
It's absolutely outrageous. Like a pint of Heineken, you know, 5 years ago was $5.50, and you know it's breaking seven in some places in Galway now.
Some places in Galway, like where I'm from, it's still around the $5.50, €6 mark, depending where you go.
Well, now you live in the shticks. Like nobody's going to leave.
Yeah, maybe they will now.
What did you say? That story that you always tell of your friend being like, "Oh, you've no tourists."
Oh yeah. I was just like, my friend was like, "Oh yeah, you should. No one goes to Leitrim. You've no tourists." I just stared him in the eye. I was just like, "Just repeat what you just said. Just repeat it." He's like, "You've no tour." Oh. He's like, "It's probably really quiet, isn't it?" I was like, "It's fucking peaceful as hell. I was like, glorious. It's glorious. Everyone knows everyone.
Pints are 550.
Inflation still has hit us, obviously, but
not as bad.
Yeah. Not as badly as the bigger cities.
So yeah, just be aware, like in Temple Bar now, I think pints of Guinness are going for €9, which
easily.
It's shocking. I just can't justify. I always think if you're ever paying more for a pint than the price of someone's hourly wage, there's something wrong.
And hey, if there's any Dublin, Galway, Cork publicans listening to this podcast and you have a good price pint, please reach out to us and let us know, because we will tell the people.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And we
will. Because I will go as well. Yeah. We will both be there 100%. And yeah, I just wish the best of luck to people in hospitality, because it's been a really tough few years. And it's great to see.
It's so hard. Like, you just see, like, there's a pub that Cormac used to work in, and every week they're putting up staff wanted.
Yeah, it's every pub I've ever worked in Ireland is that way, unfortunately. But hey, if you're looking to move to Ireland and to do actual work, get in touch with the pubs. They might be able to help you with accommodation, because I've worked in some places that have little apartments or know people that try and rent out specifically for staff.
Yeah.
So if you're a good quality bartender and you want to move to Ireland to work, reach out to a few places and ask about accommodation, because they might be able to help you.
I think my favorite post that I've seen on social media all year was, there was an Irish pub that's just opened in Siena, and they put out a call and they were like, Irish bartenders wanted. And we were getting a bit sick of fires, but we were looking at possibly moving. So I was like, oh, Cormac, like, maybe reach out to them, or like, we should go to Siena and like check out the pub. But underneath the top comment was, it was a bar in Wexford. Was it Wexford or Kilkenny?
It was, I don't know which it was. I think it was Kilkenny.
They were like, Irish bar in Kilkenny seeking staff of any
any nation. Yeah. Just like, just staff, bartender, Italian, Spanish, French.
Please,
someone come work for us. So, it was hilarious.
Yeah, quite good. And then just is there any other kind of topics you want to mention about why we've left Ireland? Apart from, obviously, rent is fucking super expensive. The wages have not matched up to the rent. Everybody's fucking depressed. The weather's shite. The food's good, though.
I'm going to leave it right there. That's enough. I don't need to.
That's our rant.
We don't need to add to that.
We will anymore. Do a nice, positive podcast about Ireland coming soon. But we
love Ireland. I'd love to be able to move back there.
As we said, we'd love to move back. But
you know,
just...
if you're working your 48 hours a week and your wage is only covering your rent a month, that's not a life, unfortunately.
And I just wanted to add, I was clocking up a video for TikTok. And sorry to all of my Sal gals, but my secondary school, I went to secondary school with 92 girls in my year. And out of the 92, over 60 of them are living abroad and have been living abroad for more than 2 years. So sorry, I was creeping on all of you, but it's everyone's gone. Yeah. So Christmas is such a huge time for people to come home. You know, my brothers all lived abroad. They've started, like, two of them have come home now, but like, one of my brothers lived in Taiwan for 10 years. So it is just very sad that families can't be together and friends have all dispersed, but Christmas is a wonderful time. So, and everyone,
the pubs in Christmas in Ireland are just savage.
Yeah.
Savage life.
It is great.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, so we're just going to leave that. We're going to park that negative
atmosphere. And
we've got a couple of interesting, slightly negative episodes coming up. We've got our bed bug special coming up. We have a bonus episode about housing agents coming up as well. And then we will round out the season with a lovely 2024 ultimate guide to Florence. So we just want to let everyone know that we are going to be hitting a big milestone of 1,000 downloads per month. So we would love if you liked, subscribed, followed us in any way, because it just helps us and it helps reach more people. We actually came up on our friend Spotify as a suggested podcast last week, so we were very excited.
We're very proud and very thankful for everyone who's listened so far.
And thanks to everyone who's called into Cormac and work and has reached out to us. We're meeting some podcast listeners next week for a pint.
Woo!
So just thanks to everyone. It's been great.
It's been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
See you in the next one.
See you in the next one.